We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, The Lord Looks at the Heart. Today's recording is part of a series on 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 15. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
This study, this book that you have right now, it's going to cover chapters 1 through 15. Then in the fall, you're going to get a new book, and we will be moving through chapters 16 through the end of the book, and that will be covering the call of David. Right now, we're covering just chapters 1 through 15 in this book. So just to give you a heads up on that, the title of this study is God Looks at the Heart, and we're going to see how that continues throughout the book. Our key verse is found in chapter 15, verse 22. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It was told to Saul at a time when he was being disobedient. That is our key verse for this study. I thought immediately of Keith Green's song. Keith Green, who wrote it long time ago, because now he's dead. But I began to sing the words to obedience is better than sacrifice. And then I went on to the rest of the words. I went, oh, that's pretty heavy. That's a pretty heavy song there that he's put in there. But what he's saying is that commitment that we make to the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It is obedience that the Lord looks for in us. So let me ask you a question. How do you know what the Lord wants you to do? How do you know if you're going to walk in obedience, how do you know what he wants you to do? How do we know that? So we find the answer in investments. Yes, investments. Not in the stock market, of course, but our investment in prayer. In prayer. We need to get that time of prayer with one another and that personal time of prayer. We had the most amazing time in the first week of January when we got together at 7 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the evening and prayed together. We saw the Lord answer our questions, answer our prayers. We saw things change. In fact, one of the things that we prayed for was for the gals who go out, the people that go out on Friday nights, and they work with the human trafficking. We prayed for two particular people. They have been removed from the scene, those two people, because we prayed. Because we prayed. And so God knows about that. So because God knows that we need to pray and we need to talk to him, and because that was so touching and so a lot came out of it. I am going to be here tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. in the cafe. Anybody who wants to join me for prayer, we will pray from 7 to 8 o'clock. And it will be, we do not talk about prayer. We do not talk about prayer requests. We don't talk about anything else. We just pray. And we see God moving through that. And we allow the Holy Spirit to just speak what he wants to speak in those prayers. And I know Shannon's been a part of it, and Nadine. And so if anybody else wants to come, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to be there in the cafe. You can join me, and we can pray together, and we can make our investment in prayer together. And the other thing you want to be investing in is reading and studying God's Word. Here you are. You're reading and studying God's Word. One of the gifts that I was given for Christmas was a list of scriptures. And it was off of somebody's blog. It was off of Pinterest. Janice Blake gave it to me. And so for each day, they give you what to write. And it's a book in the Bible. And it's a chapter in the Bible. And it's about four, five, six verses. And you write it out in longhand. And you just take 10 minutes and write it out in longhand. God has used that in my life already. It has made a change in my life. He has convicted me. He has encouraged me. He has strengthened me by simply writing out the scripture. And you know what's going to happen? If they can still read it by that time, when I'm gone, somebody's going to find that journal that is filled with scriptures that talk about how to be saved and how to love the Lord and how to live our lives. And it's all in my own hand, so they'll keep it. Ha! I love it. So anyway, you want to do that too. And then we want to invest in listening. Listening. How many of us go to prayer? We read our scriptures. And then we go to prayer, and we tell him what we want, and we tell him what we need, and we thank him for everything that he's done, what he's going to do, what he might do, and then we go off and keep moving. We don't take the time to listen. And so we want to invest in listening, and we want to invest in fellowship. It's important that we make those kinds of investments, and we'll see in our text that many of the people in our texts made good investments, but there were many who just spent their time. And their time was used up. So who are the characters in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 15? Of course, first we have the priest Eli and his sons. The priest Eli and his sons, we have Hannah, who was first barren and then became the mother of the one that the book is named after, Samuel, who Samuel is, of course, our next character. And of course, then there's Saul, who would become the first king. 1 Samuel is a history book, and yet there's a lot more in this book than mere history of how Israel took 12 tribes that were loosely gathered together and made them into one united nation under a king. It is so much more than that. This story is told warts and all. You know how Abraham Lincoln, when he was having his picture painted, and they said to him that, do you want that mole not in the picture? I can just leave it out of the picture. And he said, no, I need you to paint me warts and all. And that's what this story is about. We see how men behaved poorly in a number of occasions. And we're going to see how men also did great things. So this story is told warts and all. Priest Eli had a poor parenting skills. He had poor parenting skills. He could have used a workshop on parenting. He didn't discipline and he didn't disciple his boys. He did not discipline nor did he disciple his boys. He didn't teach his boys that their position, their job, was to serve. Their position, their job, was to serve. Apparently, Eli didn't teach his boys to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, with all their strength, with all their being. He thought that they would catch it from him, and they did not. Because the boys got what they could from their position that they held, it would cost them their lives and therefore the life of their father as well. And so here we have the book in the story of what Eli did and his foible, if you will. Samuel, even though Samuel loved the Lord with his whole being, we'll see that Samuel had a similar problem with his boys, and still he would attempt to appoint them as spiritual leaders to the next generation. And his boys' conduct was so poor that the leaders in Israel said they would rather have a king. And of course, Saul comes into the picture as the first king. Although he was tall, dark, and handsome, it would appear that power would create in Saul a need for Prozac. He was very good looking. He was also, it would appear, clinically depressed. He didn't start out that way, but it was the power that took over and the greed. He started out humble, but let his position create situations that caused him to give way to pride and to greed and to not listening to the voice of God. And so to Saul, it's to Saul that Samuel would say, obedience is better than sacrifice. When Saul came in with some things that he wasn't supposed to have, he was supposed to destroy, and we'll get into that a little bit later. So these are the main characters, the people that were living and learning at a critical moment in Israel's history. And what were they learning? They were learning the depth of God's love for his people, the depth of God's love for his people, and the wide expanse of the resources that God would use for proving it, that he loved them. That he loves them. So there's the characters, and now we move on to what is this story even about? Why is it there? So the characters, now we move on to that. So Samuel, who was a prophet, became the spiritual leader of the nation. He delivered God's messages to the people and acted as a judge who settled disputes. He was a very busy guy. Very busy guy. Do you find yourself being a very busy guy? I get very, very, very busy doing spiritual things. Do you? Have you ever found yourself so busy doing things for God that you forgot to pay attention to God? And we get so busy doing things that we forget about that. Samuel was raised up by God to end the period of the judges and to bring in the era of the kings. He lived in a day that saw the failure of the priesthood with Eli and his sons. And he was the introduction of the prophetic ministry. Samuel was the last of the judges and the first of the prophets of this period of time. And he was the man to anoint the first kings of Israel. So he anointed Saul, and he would anoint then also David. Even though he wasn't a Levite and not of the family of Aaron, yet he served as a priest, apparently under God's approval. Apparently God appointed him to that particular place. His heart was pure. His heart was devoted. Eli's had become polluted and disobedient. And so Samuel needed to come in and take over. However, as Samuel got older, the people decided that they wanted a king so that they could be just like all the other nations. I want to be just like the world. You know, have your kids ever said, everybody has? Have you ever said, everybody else has? I want to be just like them. But you see, they weren't like any other nation. They weren't like any other nation. God had made a covenant with them. He had made a covenant with them. They were God's people, and God was to be their king. But nevertheless, God honored their request. Now, he chose Saul as their first king, and God warned the people through Samuel that if you have this king, there are going to be some things that are going to come upon you. It's going to be a tough road to go on. There are going to be some things that you're going to have to pay taxes. You're going to have to do these other things. And it kind of reminded me, and I don't want to get political at all here. I honestly don't. But how many of us prayed for a certain person or prayed against a certain person, and that person was the only other one that could fill that You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying without my saying it? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Do I know what I'm talking about? Sometimes God just says, okay, that's what you want? Okay, I can use him too. And sometimes God will use that person to take us through judgment, through change in our country. Although I will say forever, we are to pray for our president. We are to pray for the leaders of our nation. We are to pray for the leaders of our counties and our states and all of those. Why? Because God told us that we are to pray for them. And he also told us they're there because he put them there. But I want us to be reminded that to pay attention to what you pray for. And pay attention and remember who you prayed for. So anyway, so Eli had become, just like any other nation, God had made a covenant with them. They were God's people. He was their king. Nevertheless, he honored their request and all of that. So tall, dark, humble, and handsome Saul was made king. Now, any time that scripture says that a man was good looking, buckle up. Because trouble is on the way. Well, you look at Samson, you look at David, you look at all of those guys that it said he was very handsome, and Saul. He was very nice to look at. He was easy on the eyes. He was whatever you want to call him. Look out. Trouble is, he is headed for trouble. So that's what, you have to pay attention to that. You know, Bill tells the story of when he was in Israel, and he was going hiking, or he was going for a walk early in the morning. It was still dark. He was dressed in dark clothes. I know many of you have already heard this story. And as he was at the gate guy did not want to let him leave the area. And he said, no, I'll be okay. I'll be fine, but it's dark out there. No, I'll be okay. And the guy said, who didn't speak very good English, he said, you are not good looking. Which I take offense at because I think he's a very good-looking man. But he was saying, you can't be seen easily. So you are not very good-looking. So you are not good-looking. So anyway, but the good-looking guys were headed for trouble. And Saul was headed for trouble. Saul was headed for trouble. Another thing to notice that the book tells the story of Samuel's birth. It tells the story of Samuel's birth. It doesn't speak of the birth of the first king. It doesn't speak of the birth of David, but it does speak of the birth of Samuel. Whenever the birth of someone is recorded in scripture, you know that significant change is on the way. We have recording of how Moses' birth. What did Moses do? There was a huge change. He delivered them out of bondage, led them out of bondage, led them on their way to the promised land. Jacob and Esau, we have a record of their birth. Jacob, who would become Israel, he would be known as Israel. Jacob was the one who wrestled with God and walked forever with a limp to remind him that he wrestled with God, to remind him that God was on the throne and that God was in control. Isaac, who would become the one that we would look at and we would say, that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes in. Isaac is recorded because his mother died at his birth. And so, there was change after him. John the Baptist. Now, I had the worst time talking about John the Baptist this morning. I could not get the words out of my mouth. But John the Baptist wept. See? And it's not working tonight either. He leapt in the womb when Mary came to Elizabeth and spoke to her. He leapt in the womb. And he was excited over what was happening. And we know that there was change that came when John the Baptist's birth was talked about. And then, of course, when Jesus' birth was talked about. Major change there, huh? Savior of the whole world. Changed everything. Let us walk in freedom. So when we look at that, in recording of Samuel's birth, we have a clue as to how important he is to the story. Samuel played a key role in Israel's change from, remember, from the loose group of 12 tribes that walked together loosely. Now they're going to be one nation, and they're going to be ruled by a king. Samuel was charismatic. He was dynamic. He was a fearless leader. Why? Because he followed God so closely and listened to him so intently. That's why he was charismatic, dynamic, and fearless. Fearless. Do you ever feel like, I just want to be fearless? I have prayed. You've heard that song, Make Me Brave. You make me brave. You make me brave. And whenever I hear that song, oh, Lord, make me brave. Let me be brave for you. Help me to be brave for you. And so he listened so intently to the Lord, which brings me to the traits that God admires, that God loves in these characters and in our lives as well. Like I said in this book, there are plenty of areas to show that humankind, human people, men, persons, mankind, that's the word I'm looking for. Sounds like, thank you very much. Mankind messes up. We have a few opportunities to mess up. I love what Shannon put on her Instagram. Never pass up an opportunity to shut up. I love that. I need to hear that more often. Never pass up an opportunity to shut up. Anyway, because I've heard God say, shut up, Joy, you've said enough. So the character traits that God admires, that he loves, and that he rewards. Hannah's heartfelt prayer in chapter 1. Can't wait to get to that next week. Her heartfelt prayer. Eli's confidence in God, even when he was faced with the painful news of his sons, of a situation, he still had a confidence in God. Samuel's sincere commitment to God. God rewards that. He admires that. He loves a sincere commitment to him. He loves a confidence in him. He loves that heartfelt prayer that's given to him. So where did all of this place, all of these things take place? Of course, we know that it took place in Israel. When Saul became king, he established his capital in Gibeah, the village where he was born. Apparently, he had trouble leaving home, so he just made his capital be right there. The city was just a few miles away from Jerusalem, but Jerusalem had yet to be overtaken or conquered, and which leads us to who wrote this book. So these 1st and 2nd Samuel were one book. In the beginning, it was split up for ease of translation and so forth. It gives detailed and personal information about Samuel, Saul, and David, and it seems likely that the writer had access to records from national leaders. The 1st and 2nd Chronicles are such records that existed at that particular time. 1st Chronicles 29:29. Everything David did while he was king is included in the history written by the prophets Samuel, Nathan, and Gad. And so this book was probably written sometime after Solomon died and Israel split into two nations. The writer speaks of the two nations, which puts it about 930 BC. 930 BC is the timing on that. He speaks of Israel in the north and Judah in the south in chapter 17, verse 52, and we will get into that in the next session when we get together, but we're not going to talk about that now. You just have that as the overview. It's believed that Samuel, I love this. I love that I wrote this down. It's believed that Samuel only wrote of the events while he was alive. I thought I should share that with you, that I actually have that on my paper. He only wrote the things when he was alive. So so his lifetime covers. I do the best I can with what I got. I'm sorry. It covers chapters 1 through 24, actually, because in 25, verse 1, it says, "And Samuel died." So I don't think that he wrote that. That's his. It's possible that one of the younger prophets who studied under Samuel wrote the book. Another possibility is that Abiathar, a priest who would be accustomed to keeping these records, completed the book. And which brings us to, why was this book written? It was written for something more than just history. It was written for something more than just the history of the Israelite nation becoming one nation under the leadership of the king. Although that is one of the reasons that it was written. It was also written to show God's love for his people who are warts and all. God loves you. God loves you. He has loved you with an everlasting love. It is with his loving kindness that he has drawn you to the place that you are at right now. He sees those things that are keeping you awake at night. Those things that break your heart and you just don't know what to do with them. I'm telling you, God wants to deliver you from that. And he wants to set you free. God loves you. And I'm so thankful that we get to serve him. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the way that you have ministered to us tonight. I'm thankful, Lord, that this morning did not get recorded. I thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst and that you want to do a work that we couldn't even believe, even if it were told to us. You want to do a work even tonight. We don't have to wait until we leave this place to hear your voice. We're hearing your voice right now. You're speaking to us right now. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that our hearts would be so open to hear from you. And Lord, as we just get into our groups and have a little time together of prayer and just talking over the things that you've said, Lord, I thank you. I pray, God, that you would just cause us to listen carefully to you. Lord, we love you. We love you. And you love us more than we can ever imagine. Help us to know, have the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. To know the way that you want us to go, Lord, because obedience is better than sacrifice. And we give it all to you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope that you've been encouraged by today's lesson and join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power.